The reading today is from Luke 1, verses 39 to 45. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord."
Thank you so much, Frank. Thank you too for that wonderful scene outside your house, which is as good a ministry of mission as I can think of to the whole village and everybody who goes by. It's absolutely great. Has anybody else seen the inflatable nativity outside? I mean, you can't miss it, really, can you? Right, fine. It needs to be pumped up. They're all looking a bit floppy, are they? Anyway, thank you for it. It's lovely. Let's pray together. Father God, your joy is a miracle, and we are so grateful for it. Come and inhabit our hearts as we look at this little story together. By your Holy Spirit, bring your joy into our lives. For our sake, for the world's sake, that they might see your joy, and to give you joy. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this little scene that Frank has just read to us. It's very unusual, it seems to me, for a Bible story, in as much as it's a domestic, indoor scene. It's very intimate, and we get the details of exactly who said what to whom. And also, it centres on two women. Our theme today is joy. And you may well think that it is no wonder that Elizabeth and Mary are joyful, most particularly Elizabeth. If you've been following our series, you will know very well why. She is elderly, well past having children, and that, the lack of children, has been the great grief of her life. Despite that, she has remained strong and obedient in her faith, as has her disappointed husband. But God has miraculously broken in, and Elizabeth has a baby bump that she never thought that she would have. I imagine her in such joy, cradling that bump, singing as she goes round the house and worshipping constantly. God, thank you for this baby. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for this great joy. I'm yours. The baby's yours. We're all yours. Caroling in her joy and amazement. Now, Mary is Elizabeth's young cousin. And she must have been overjoyed for Elizabeth when she heard the stunning news of that late, late pregnancy. The fact that it was an angel that gave Mary that news must only have added to the thrill. She has rushed to Elizabeth, longing to give her the news that she too is expecting. And our story today starts immediately as the two women hug in greeting. What could be more natural and joyful than two pregnant women loving and congratulating each other and thrilled with their babies? But there is so much going on here than that. For a start, all four of the people in that room are full of the Holy Spirit, full of joy. Both women and both babies. Elizabeth exclaims to Mary, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy." And when Zechariah, the father of the baby, had been told by another angel, that another angelic visitation, that Elizabeth was going to have a baby. That had been part of the original promise. The baby will be full of the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And so we can see he is. Elizabeth herself launches into a paean of praise and joy. It says, in a loud voice. She clearly couldn't contain herself. And it's not to thank God for the miracle of her own baby, but prophetically, she exclaims of Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Some of those phrases begin to get us into areas which are far from straightforward. And that, in turn, begins to alert us to how powerful this Holy Spirit joy is. We're not just seeing an overflow of natural happiness in cheerful circumstances. This Holy Spirit joy is way beyond that. It's supernatural. Let's unpack the situation a little bit more. Mary can rightly rejoice in Elizabeth's wholly unexpected pregnancy. But that is certainly not the case the other way round. Mary isn't married, as you know. She has a fiancé who could naturally be expected to be livid for her apparent immorality. At the very least, and we're told this is how Joseph, who was a good man, did think, he would divorce her quietly, says the Bible, and she could go into disgraced solitude with her baby. Mary knew all this, of course, and it must have been terrifying on one level. Maybe she didn't tell her neighbours in Nazareth about the angelic visitation and about her miraculous pregnancy. It says that she hurried to visit Elizabeth, a godly older cousin with whom perhaps safely she could share this bewildering visit, this bewildering news. But how would Elizabeth react? We don't, in fact, I wonder if you noticed, in fact, even hear Mary tell Elizabeth the situation. The Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth the minute that Mary arrived at the door, as far as we can tell. And it seems as if he put a prophecy, a Holy Spirit word, directly into Elizabeth's mouth, perhaps even on the doorstep. And the Holy Spirit seems to have revealed Mary's pregnancy to Elizabeth. And far from reproach for supposed impurity, that spirit word is a blessing on Mary, a glorious confirmation for probably a very worried girl that all this confusing situation is in fact God's own doing. Let's hear that again. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord, what a phrase, should come to me? This is huge. A virgin is miraculously with child by the Holy Spirit. She is to be the mother of the Lord, the Messiah that the whole Jewish race has been waiting for centuries. But this is not an unmixed blessing. William Barclay, godly biblical commentator, speaks of what he calls the paradox of blessedness. He goes on, Mary is blessed to be chosen to be the mother of the Son of God. Well might her heart be filled with a wondering, tremulous joy at so great a privilege. Yet that very blessedness was to be a sword that pierced her heart. It meant that someday she would see her son hanging on a cross. To be chosen by God so often means, at one and the same time, a crown of joy and a cross of sorrow. Have you perhaps at times felt exactly that? I'm so humbly grateful to know God, so glad of my salvation, so grateful and amazed that I should have been chosen to be his child. And yet the cost of it is sometimes very, very high. I remember once saying to Father God that I was very grateful for and glad of, please, the home that he promised me in heaven to come. But if the really tough things that I was going through at that time were intended to bring me a better home nearer the centre of heaven, then I was perfectly happy with a very small hut that I currently have somewhere near the gate, and I didn't need an improved version, thank you very much. Now, of course, it's an entirely fanciful prayer, and God does not hand out hovels or mansions in heaven according to how much you have wept down here. But though the theology was really skew, I still remember and understand the emotion that I was going through. Following God can be tough. It can take real resilience. It is not all happiness and floaty feelings. And that's why this morning's theme is joy, not just happiness. So, a quick little summary of what is this joy from God. It is both a paradox and a miracle. As we've seen, it is not just the fruit of happy circumstances. Jesus himself promises us joy. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete. It's in your spiritual DNA, if you're a Christian. The fruit means one of the visible results of being filled with the Spirit is joy. It survives. Miraculously, it can even arise from tough times. 1 Peter says, "You have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." As we grasp by faith that all we go through is fitting us for heaven, great amazed joy is released in us. It was joy that sustained Jesus on the cross, we hear. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I have had the experience of that sustaining joy during particular times of struggle. I remember very well the humble amazement I felt that through months of carrying a terminally ill baby, I nevertheless had what felt to me like a little, what could I call it, a little bubble of joy that was small but unsquashable, that bounced up and down inside my heart throughout that time. And I knew that despite, and I was weeping at the same time often, and often going to God in pain over what was going on, and yet that little bubble of joy could not be eliminated by tragedy or by pain. None of us will live a life without pain, without struggle or grief or confusion. But of course, that is not the whole story. The Bible tells us that we can expect our human lives to include those things. But we are also promised that in eternity, the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Advent is a time of anticipation. The pregnancies in today's story are a metaphor for us. We're waiting and preparing, looking forward to a birth. Jesus' birth at Christmas. That is a time of joy as we thank him for leaving heaven and coming and living a human life, suffering an agonizing death and making a way for us to know God. But we're also waiting and preparing and looking forward to Jesus' second coming, when all these joyful promises about eternity will be ultimately fulfilled. And then there will be no more death or mourning or crying. That is a promise for you and for me. And how it can encourage us in the here and now, while suffering and death are still our individual experience, and as we look round the world. But how can we receive the joy that arises from that promise? By being like Mary. In Elizabeth's prayer of joy, she says of Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." There's the secret: believing his word. And that is not just saying, be in denial, don't think at all about the tough things, just grit your teeth and believe that somehow it's not completely true. Absolutely not. We can understand fully what the truth of the here and now is, but we can learn to make a habit of lifting our eyes, believing his word for those glorious promises. And when we have lifted our eyes and we are looking with Jesus, we can turn them to the world and together have his perspective on what is going on in the here and now. In summary of that, it has been said that believing souls are blessed souls. Don't we find that to be true? Don't we all long for that blessing, the joy from the Holy Spirit, the joy that sustains us through grief, the joy that is unbroken through tough times, the joy also that is so striking and so attractive to those who don't yet know Jesus, such that they have to say sometimes, "What is that light in you? What is it that can't be broken when I know that your life is not easy?" We can pray right now for that joy of the Holy Spirit to be released in us, either for the first time or again. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are a spirit of joy. Thank you that when you live in us, when we are your family, we share your DNA and we too have that joy in us. We recognize, Holy Spirit, that it's often masked when we look at many other things around us or in us and our hearts become cast down. But today, we pray that you will release or re-release that spirit of joy in us, that our faces might reflect in radiance and gratitude the truth that you are coming. You're coming at Christmas, you're coming again, and you will reign forever. And in that, our joy will be complete. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
So just continue waiting on the Lord. Joy is your birthright, men and women of God. There's joy in heaven. But you are entitled as a citizen of heaven to draw down that joy now. So think of any situation of pain or heartache disappointment, discouragement, and invite God to send his joy in it and through it, because it is all part of his preparation of you for eternity. Give us more joy, Lord. Give us more of you. When we are crushed by circumstances, will you come in and drive back the darkness? We feel your light expanding in our hearts. Where we're feeling crushed, Lord, get under that burden with us and lift it off our shoulders. Lord, we choose to receive your joy, even if our feelings are otherwise tortured. We choose with our wills to believe your joy, to receive your joy, to live your joy in the midst of our troubles. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.